Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. We are a community in Midtown Atlanta, or based in Midtown Atlanta, but we have an outreach across the world because I know many of you are coming to us from all kinds of places. And I'd like to tell you a word or two about who we are. We are a community of people who are fully and completely in the knowledge that you have within you. Everything you need, everything you require to live the life that you imagine for yourself and the life of your dreams. It's all right there inside of you. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what situations you may have been given up until now. It is still right there in essence and innate within you to do and to be and to become the creative person you are. We are a community that can teach you how to do that and how to access that part of you that is so wonderful and so creative and so capable of handling all of the things the world may be throwing at you. And we are a community that supports one another because none of us have arrived. We are all in the process of becoming. Therefore, we are a community that supports one another in our path along the way as we do our classes, as we show up on Sundays, as we remind each other of the truth of who we are and what we are, so that we can live creatively in this world today, a time when we all apparently on some level chose to be here. So I welcome you. I'm grateful that you're here. And I'm so thankful that you came and that you participate with us. So I'd like to share with you a little more about who we are by sharing with you what we believe and what we teach. What we believe and teach is our Declaration of Principles, which is now on the screen. Feel free to read along with me. And here is what it is. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. We have folks within our community who have spent many, many years training and to go deeper in how to live these principles and how to bring these principles forward for themselves. They've demonstrated their ability to create life, to change their lives by use of these principles and to manifest, as we call it, or to demonstrate that action and that activity. We change our thinking, we change our lives. So these folks are called practitioners. They're licensed because they're licensed not only for themselves, but also to help others and to be available to do this. They've proven that they can do this, that they have the ability to work with you and help you create a different consciousness to create those new ideas. So our practitioner today that's going to share with us is the wonderful, internationally known and internationally traveled Maya. So go for it, Maya.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here again today. It's really such a pleasure to be here with all of you and to see all of you each and every week. It's a wonderful anchor, and I'm blessed to have it, and I imagine you all feel the same. So many of you who know me or who have been in class with me will know and think of me as being quite verbose. That means I talk a lot, but not today. So today is going to be kind of short and sweet, and I'm just warning you in advance so you won't be like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Just not going to talk a lot today. So jumping into today's discussion, it came to my mind when we're looking at the topic, I'm going to talk about it in a second, that, you know, a question, like, have you ever asked yourself why we are here? Like, why, how do we find ourselves in this earth plane? Why are we here? What is the purpose of it all? And I'm going to imagine that the answer is yes, because I feel like metaphysicians would do that, like just contemplate like the existence of just life. And Ernest Holmes and other mystics like him have presented us with an answer. Of course, many, many answers, but one particular answer that Ernest Holmes talks about is the fact that we are here as representatives in a way of God, so that God can experience itself, that God lives through us as us so that it can experience itself. It's wondrous ways, it's allness. And it gives us this volition, this energy has given us this volition to choose to direct our thought and our intention, our energy to create what it is that we want to create, because it's this like this playground, right, of creation for God to know itself, right? It's always expanding. It allows for whatever we want to create. That's along the lines of the law. Law meaning that whatever we direct our attention to, that's where our energy flows and that's what we create. So the theme for this month is living as compassionate conduits. And the title for today's talk that Dr. Bob will deliver is God is not motivated if you aren't. So that explanation of why we are here jives very well with the concept of our being compassionate conduits. So the word compassion, I'm not going to really deal with, because I feel like we've dealt with compassion all month. But then conduits, right? This idea of that we are channels, right? We are vessels. We're channels, again, through which God is knowing itself, right? So that means we are God knowing itself. And so if we also look at, we're talking about that God's not motivated if we aren't. So let's look at the word, definition of the word motivation. So motivation is to provide someone with a motive for doing something. And it also stimulates someone's interest in or enthusiasm for doing something. So my questions that come to mind today are, do you feel motivated? Are you motivated? Do you feel motivated in general in life? Or what motivates you or inspires you to action, right? So motivation is like inspiring to action. What motivates you? What inspires you to action? Ernest Holmes says, life is not just something to be endured. It is to be lived in joy, in fullness, without limit, right? So there's that connection with this joy that I need to be motivated. I want to be just experience the fullness and allness of life. He also says, but we are born to be happy, to be abundantly supplied with every good thing, to have fun in living, to consciously unite with the divine power that is around us and within us, and to grow and to expand forever. So I'm just posing these questions as asking, when you don't feel motivated or inspired into action, what can we do to develop that feeling or mindset? I've been reading Think and Grow Rich and doing this little study of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And he talks about our major definite purpose. And one of the major definite teachings in this like best-selling, I think it's like the best-selling book beside the Bible of all time, but basically in Western, I don't know about all time, but you know what I'm saying, in Western modern history, it's one of the best-selling books of modern history. And he talks about a major part of it is if you don't have this feel like this innate desire to and motivation and inspiration for life or a passion for something, then develop it, because this is what we're here for. We're here to latch onto something, put our passion behind it and create and to expand ourselves for God to expand itself, right? Through us. So I just ask you, you know, again, when you don't feel motivated and inspired into action, what can you do to develop the mindset? I would say that number one thing that we all understand is that if we know ourselves better, to know ourselves and know what makes us feel happy, what gives us a spark of joy, and to be bold to go after that, to identify causes and principles that we care about. Think on these things. Think on the things that inspire us And then ask our God selves what we can do to promote these good things in the world. And again, now I'm talking about good things because we're to be compassionate God, conduits. We're here to promote the nature of God is good. So the nature of our essence is good. And so our nature is to create more good, inspire more good, to bring more good into the world. So yes, we are here to be compassionate conduits of God. The affirmation that was given for today's message as I move into treatment. The affirmation is, as I change my thoughts and beliefs, the world around me changes. My mind is the mind of God itself. So let's move into a more quieter, more contemplative state, which we know to be prayer treatment. Just quieting the thoughts of the day, of the week, as we turn to the divine power that is within, the oneness that's within. And I invite you to accept whatever words that I might say that resonate with you. I invite you to accept them for yourself as I speak these words for myself. I know that there is only one eternal force. One mind that moves through all creation as powerful, loving, joyful energy. Because this oneness is everywhere present, I am one with that. I am one with the infinite web of life, and I'm connected with it all. I know that my body is an aspect and expression of the one mind, knowing itself through my body as my body. I know that my mind is an aspect and expression of the internal one mind. This one mind, this God self, is knowing itself through my mind as my mind. As I change my thoughts and beliefs, the world around me changes. My mind is the mind of God itself. I therefore cleanse the windows of my mind, that it may become a mirror, reflecting inspiration from the Most High. I do this not with strenuous effort, but through quiet contemplation, through gently reaching out and affirming an inward recognition of good. All good, only good, joyous, wonderful, magnificent good. Enemy through me, as me, enemy through me, as me, and what I do. There, today I walk in the pathway of inspiration. I am motivated to live a richer, fuller, freer life. I know exactly what to do in every situation that will lead me to my highest good, to my highest expression as life unfolds through me. There is an inspiration within me which governs every act, every thought, with certainty, with conviction, and peace, and in joy. The key to unlock the treasures of good is in my hand. It's in my mind, in my attention, in my thought, in my consciousness. So I unlock the doorway of my consciousness of good and gently open it that the divine presence may flood my whole being with light, illuminate my being with its radiant flow, and direct my footsteps into the pathway of peace and joy. I am inspired and motivated toward good living through love and law. I give thanks for this wonderful inspiration, and I let it be so in my life today. And so it is.
So it is.
Now we'll move into some beautiful, inspirational music that will motivate us to be the good that we are.
For every hill, there is a valley. For every winter, the promise of spring. For your heartache, there will be healing. Though it's not easy remembering, For every tear, there's comfort, I promise. For every midnight, the deep breath of dawn. But in the darkness, no one can blame us for wondering how everything went so wrong.
So wrong.
For wondering when the lights will come back on. What if the sky is always blue? Just beyond the clouds. What if the only thing to do is live this life out loud? 'Cause it's gonna hurt sometimes, no matter what we do. Never mind the doubt, just beyond our view. I believe the sky is always blue. Ooh. Here we go again.
Here we go again.
The headlines are screaming. Fears and divisions, diminished returns. But even in these dark days, we keep on believing that the sun still brightly burns.
Sun still brightly.
Maybe that's what we are here to learn. What if the sky is always blue? Just the doubt.
Everyone has doubt.
Forget about those clouds.
We all see the God.
Just beyond our view. I believe the sky.
Good morning. Wow. The sky is always blue. That's one song that I turn to and play often on YouTube or wherever else I can find it. Anytime I'm starting to feel like the world out there is crashing in and telling me more truth than the world in here, where the real truth lies. And I always love Daniel's reminders to us that no matter even the cloudy days, it's still a bright blue sky just above and beyond it. Our job is to find it and to experience it and to hold on to the truth of it until it shows up. Thank you, Maya. That was wonderful. I always love your energy and your treatments. It was really sweet. Appreciate it. So earlier this week, I came into my office. I have this whole setup where my laptop is propped up so the camera has the right angle and I have another screen that I can work with at the same time and do my email and my regular work when I come in to do that. So I came in, I turned on the computer and nothing happened. I turned it on again and nothing happened. I got very frustrated. I got very concerned because I had some meetings coming up later that day. So after trying everything I could think of, I looked behind the computer and saw, at the scramble of cords, and knew that everything was as it was supposed to be in that scramble. And Vance showed me his scramble earlier unintentionally. So, you know, behind the computer, most of us have that of some kind. And anyway, so I looked at the scramble and I thought, you know, that's not so. So I went to my go-to person. We have a tech support group that supports us in what we're doing. So I called them and said, yeah, help. And they calmed me down and then began to go through the usual tech support questions. And the first question is always the one I feel so insulted by and hate the most, which is it plugged in? And I always go, well, of course it's plugged in. I always, you know, check that first. And so I told the guy, yeah, it's plugged in. He said, well, did you just look at it again to make sure it's plugged in? And I said, no. And he said, well, will you? I mean, he was very patient, very kind. And I looked, and much to my embarrassment, sure enough, it wasn't plugged in. So it had run down because I had it set up so that it didn't go to sleep. It just ran out of juice completely and was no longer plugged in. It was a great lesson to me because I feel quite sophisticated in my use of computers at times. And that moment, I realized how the simplest thing could undo my sophisticated, knowledgeable self and leave me feeling like a little kid who can't make his toy work and gets quite unhappy about it. Well, you know, we often say in this teaching, we say it all the time, there's a power for good in the universe and we can use it. They also say there's a power for good in the universe and it can use us. And you know, the truth is, you can't use it in a specific particular way if you're not plugged in. Same principle as the computer, same idea, because it's working all the time and we are in it. But if we want to create something better, something different, something more, if we want to be motivated in a particular direction, or if we want the infinite to be motivated in a particular direction, then we have to plug in first by getting motivated ourselves. Socrates said it well. He said, to move the world, we must move ourselves. Think about that. If you want to make a change out there in the world, you don't do it from what you want to happen that you don't already experience. You do it out of that place of what you know and who you are and how you feel, and then the world responds accordingly. The same is true with spiritual law. Spiritual law responds accordingly to what we have set forth in desire. See, the law, spiritual law, which works for us and provides for us and brings into manifestation or brings into demonstration those things which we really know and believe in, is just like the electricity that runs my computer. You know, I go in the kitchen and I've got a blender and I've got a mixer and I've got a toaster and I've got all these things in the kitchen. And you know what's so incredible? They all plug into the same electricity. You know, I can make a smoothie or a piece of toast or burn myself using the same stuff. I get to choose, and how careful I am chooses and helps me choose. It's a really rich and powerful awareness because it's, you know, that electricity is just sitting there in the wall going bzz, 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 just waiting to be used. But we have to choose some way to use it. I got to plug in. I can stand in front of my blender and push the button all I want to, but till I plug it in, it's not going to do a thing except stand there and look at me. I'm like, what is he doing? Not that blenders can talk, but you know. So we get to plug into it, and we plug into it by what we believe and by what we know and by taking an intention. If we're looking for some specific change, then we must set an intention for that change. We must set a desire and bring it forward, bring a desire forward and let it become an intention. one of the things I love most about this teaching is that desire is not a bad word. I came from one that where anything you desired must be wrong if you wanted it, especially if it came out of your desires. But no, that's not true. What's true is what we desire is what we're wanting to bring forward into the world in a new way. And what we're motivated for if we give ourselves permission. So we plug in by setting an intention, by getting very clear about what we truly want to have happen for ourselves, for the world, for whatever. Now, you've heard the old saying, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. You've probably had those good intentions, and you've seen the word road to hell show up as a result. But I want to change that, because that's one of those old truisms that isn't true. The road to hell is paved by insincere intentions. The road to hell is paved by intentions that you want somebody else to do that don't affect you, or that you don't have to make any changes for. The road to hell is paved by intentions that somehow might just show up in spite of you, more like wishes and hopes than intentions. Because once I have a wish, I wish for it, I hope for it, but it's kind of out there somewhere, as if something else or someone else has responsibility for bringing it forward. Whereas in a true intention, you have the responsibility for bringing it forward. That is your action. That is what you can do to motivate yourself and the world to make it happen. So we set an intention and we develop it. We think about it. We pay attention to it. We write about it. We sing about it. We speak about it. We put up affirmations in front of us to remind us of who and what we are. And we do that development, that focus on it, as already established, until we begin to believe it. I began to believe that I could be a world traveler. For a long time, that was so outside of my box of imagination. I had sort of a fantasy and dream. I would love to do it, but that's not for me. That's for people with lots of money or big jobs or whatever. And then at a time when I was working for a center and down in Florida and struggling financially, the center was, I had an opportunity to go to Peru. Oh my God, I wanted to go to Peru. And I just imagined myself in Peru. I could feel it. I could taste it. And then I looked at my bank account and went, I can't go to Peru. You know what happened? I went to Peru. Somebody showed up. Not great big external big sums. I went to Peru on a budget. I went to Peru very tightly as far as the money goes and had the most rich, beautiful, powerful experience. I went with 12 other people and we did some amazing spiritual work down there. And which really shaped my whole life from that point forward. It was a life-changing experience. But I had to taste it, feel it, want it so much and be aware not only that I wanted it, but that it could be for me. And I had some wonderful teachers at the time that were saying, you know what? You can have that. Why are you thinking you can't? And at that point, I started calling myself a citizen of the cosmos. And I have thoroughly enjoyed that image and that idea. And it has supported all kinds of other things. See, we're all plugged in all the time. When we get an idea and an intention about a certain thing, it's like plugging in your lights and turning them on, except often we have a rheostat on that energy. You know what a rheostat is? It's that little gizmo behind the dimmer switch so that when you plug something in and turn it on, you ever turn on your lights and not realize the dimmer switch is turned all the way down and wonder what's wrong with them? Sometimes that can happen, but you turn it on. And sometimes our flow of truth, our flow of energy, our flow of opportunity is held back by where we are, how we have the dimmer switch turned. We can think, well, maybe this could possibly happen, and the dimmer switch is turned way down. But as we begin to grow in our faith and our commitment to the idea, the dimmer switch turns up and the lights get brighter and brighter and brighter. The blender runs faster and faster and faster, or whatever image you want to use for that. Because you see, we are in charge because we're in charge of our own consciousness. Now, I know we're bombarded with all kinds of contrary ideas. And they come at us from the world of division and dividedness and anger and hurts and all of those things. But the more we can begin to build the awareness of truth and goodness and light, and the fact that all people are looking really for the same thing, love, support, freedom, compassion, the opportunity to be cared for, to support their families, then however all the crazy ways in which we disagree on how to do that can begin to not look so important. It can be like the clouds between the sun, us and the sun, to bring a sunny day. So we turn up the rheostat. You know, the Bible has this phrase that in living well and creatively, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's an idea that harks back to an earlier philosophy from the Greeks. It's a wonderful idea from the Greeks. I first really started playing with this week and got excited about it. So I'm going to share it with you. The Greeks had a very different idea of how we experience time. I don't know about you, but if someone says, look to the future, what do you think of? You're looking out ahead of you. What's out there? Where are you going to step into next? What's coming? The Greeks had a different idea. Their belief was, if I look ahead or I look in front of me, all I'm seeing is where I've been. Think about that a minute. You get up in the morning. You start on the path from your bed to your coffee pot, which is my first path. It may not be yours. You may be smarter than I am, but that's the path. What am I seeing all along the way? I see the picture on the wall that I got on a certain vacation. I see the piece of furniture beside my bed that was my great-grandmother's. I see the coffee pot that I bought and love and hope will never break down. I bought and I see. So all we look at when we look out at the world is the past. All of the images, all the things in front of us have to do with where we've been, not where we're going. Now, in our culture, we have added to that this dimension of moving forward into something new and different. But for the Greeks, when they thought of moving forward, they saw it as being the future being behind them. And the way you move through the future was by your imagination. Imagine getting up and heading for the coffee pot by walking backwards. Chances are you'd find a different coffee pot, unless you had a real good imagination and imaginative picture of what was between you and the coffee pot. But it's a really fascinating idea, because what we're talking about here is creating a future that is better and different and more without being able to actually see it, but we imagine it in our affirmations, in our beliefs, in our setting all of this up. On a cloudy day, you can't see the sun, but you imagine it. You know what that bright sunny day looks like. You know what's above that cloud, especially if you've been there a few times in an airplane. And that's how this plays into this whole idea. So we imagine what's behind us, what's the future, what we can't see, but we have the faith and we step out. And what might look like going backwards, but in truth, is going into the future. I love that idea. It just turns everything on its head. It means if I want to create a new life for myself, I don't do it by doing stuff. Although I will come to a point of doing things, I do it by imagining. Intentions really are. It's imagining what can be, but not just imagining it as a wish, but imagining it as a possibility, a reality, as something really done. Interesting, huh? There's another part to this. When we start imagining and thinking about and creating these affirmations, these ideas for ourselves for the future that we want to create more strongly so that the power that's all around us in the universe can just flow right into it and flow right through us and bring it about, create it for us and with us. There's kind of two ways to go at that people tend to do. And one is very effective and one is not so much. We often go after either the power to create, believing that's something we have to get or generate or make happen differently, or we use our imaginations to be the creator and to imagine the thing as already done according to the pleasure of it. I imagine Peru as fun and joyous and experiencing new things and places to be. I didn't imagine or sit around thinking, how can I make this happen? How can I create enough power in me or use the power in me in order to bring it about? Because as soon as you start being concerned about the power and where it's coming from and how it's going to work, you're introducing doubt. You're introducing resistance. You're introducing another idea. You know, my coffee pot doesn't worry about where the power is coming from and whether it's going to work or not. It just does its thing because it's plugged in and it goes. Because we are creative, imaginative, beautiful beings by imagining from the point of the pleasure of something, the joy of it, then we're already creating it and happening because you can feel that, right? Think about the thing you'd like to bring into your life more than anything else. First thing that pops in your mind. Now take a moment and imagine you having fun doing it, whatever it is, or being in it. If it's not a doer, it's a participatory thing. I spend a lot of time imagining my grandchildren and what he would be like and she would be like as each of them was coming to join us. Little did my imagination come close to the reality of the joy of it all, but it was a good start. I didn't think about, am I going to be a good grandpa and can I have enough power to really take care of them and do what I should? And will the power come to me to do? Uh-uh. I was just being the grandpa. Same thing when I was being a parent, and the same thing when I was being all the things we be. So don't worry about where it's coming from and how it's coming. You open and turn up the rheostat by getting more clearly and deeply in embracing the power of the thing itself, the pleasure of it, the joy of it. We bring greater joy, bring greater life and greater livingness to and through all of it. There's a power for good in the universe, and it uses you and you use it. And you do it not by worrying about it or thinking about, is there a power and does it work and how does it work and why doesn't it work and why did it work this time? And simply going for nonstop the joy of the experience of it. The joy of being alive at this time in this place and getting to juggle all the stuff we juggle. You know, we learn more new information in a year than most people did in their whole lifetimes 100 years ago, because we're exposed to so much shift and change. And that's one of the biggest challenges to keeping the thermostats or the rheostat open and turned up, is that we get distracted. Shiny things, you know, the bird that just flew by my window, or the latest thing on the TV, all of our sound bites that come at us in little tiny bites, and they're all different, and they pull us in this direction and that direction. I'm not making any of that bad. I'm just saying, got to keep coming back to where the real power, the real truth is, and that is the imaginative pleasure of life as I'm living it. There's a great concept. I have a friend used to call it the doorway affirmations. Every time you walk through a door, set a new affirmation. In this room, I'm going to enjoy the pleasure and benefit of whatever. This morning, I'm going to enjoy this shower. I'm not going to worry about whether I get it done quick enough to get to my next thing. I'm just going to enjoy that warm water and all the stuff that goes into the shower. And it's amazing how time will slow down and you have plenty of time to do what you need to get done. I hope this is coming through clearly, because what I want us to get is that we absolutely have control over the rheostat, how much the power of the universe is available to us by how much we embrace and embody by our imaginations. And we do it by embodying the joy. In joy. Living in joy. And you deserve that life. You know, the other thing about this is the action piece. Excuse me. I think it must be time for me to stop. I'm choking up. The action piece is this. You will know what to do. You don't have to figure that out ahead of time. What you do is you affirm, you develop the belief, you develop the commitment to that belief, and then it becomes your knowing, your reality, and then your mind, the little nudges from inside, will tell you what to do next to make it happen. I wanted to go to Peru. And then it occurred to me, well, you might want to get a passport. It's like the old joke. I want to win the lottery. We'll buy a ticket. Yeah. See, you'll get these nudges, and then your action will be empowered by the truth and the goodness of life that's behind it. And it becomes a part of bringing forward the manifestation or the demonstration of that which you've already known in your soul and heart to be the truth for you. And it may not come from the places you think. It may not be the kind of action you think. It doesn't always fit the five-year plan, or you do this, 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 and this. But if you trust it, it will guide you to the place you want to be. We have that wisdom already inside of us. This is all about opening it up, accessing it, and learning how to use it. You deserve that, because you are wonderful. No doubt about it. And so am I. And so it is. So join me if you'd like. Take a deep breath. Let all that philosophy and stuff just whirl around and go wherever it goes. And take a moment and go within. By go within, I mean turn away from the stuff on the outside. If closing your eyes helps that, fine. If there's some other way you do it, fine. Stare at a point on the wall. Look at your fingernails. Do something that allows your attention to settle and not be distracted with the next shiny thing. So as we settle into this moment, we recognize that we live in a universe that provides everything we have ever desired or needed. And if it doesn't seem to yet, then we simply know that we will find a better way to plug in. We'll turn up the rheostat. So in living in this one power, this one universal something, this one energy and information system that we are all part of, take a moment and in the energy of this group and the support of all of the people who are on this call, who are hearing it later, who are joining us from all over the world, allow yourself one new idea or intention, or it may be something you've set aside and want to come back to, but something that you would like to have more of, to be more of, to create more of in your world. We're living in a time of great fear and prosperity. We deny all of that fear that prosperity has not dried up or been shut down or shut off. And instead, that may be an area where you want to affirm a truth. I am prosperous. I am healthy. But let one idea show itself to you as the next thing to focus on. And as it bubbles up, know with me that the one power that is the universe, that is life itself, is flowing through you, and by your affirmation is already filling it out, filling it up, filling the mold, shining through the appearances to the contrary, moving aside the clouds and allowing the full manifestation of that desire or intention. Because knowing there is one desire, one power, I know that one desire, that one power is already fulfilled in the mind that is God. It is already fulfilled in your experience as you simply allow it to be. And take the action in mind for change. And then when it's revealed to you, take the actions in the physical world in order to participate in the change that's already happened. Allow those ideas right now for how to enhance and embody in a stronger way, create a greater imaginative presence of that which you desire. See yourself living freely and easily with all of the love you can imagine, beyond what you can imagine, coming to you and coming from you out to the world. All of the health, all of the prosperity, all of the opportunities to give your gifts and have them received with great appreciation and joy, keeping the flow going. And as you know this to be the truth for you, and allow the reality to continue to expand and grow within your own imagination and consciousness by action of this treatment, this mode, this way of thinking, I know that the full expression and manifestation or demonstration or action in the world that matches it is already begun. Spiritual law is saying yes, 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 yes to your idea, to my idea. And it is already beginning to draw the things into place that are required in order for it to happen in the world of experience. And I simply continue to focus on my great truth within, my imaginative next step, knowing that it is simply a matter of allowing it to happen by enjoying the pleasure of it, the idea of the joy of it, and ignoring anything else. This is my truth. This is the truth. I live it freely and well. I let it be, and so it is. Thank you so much. Now let's hear from our board member of the day. We have a wonderful, amazing board that is guiding the financial life and the physical life of this center. And one of those people is guiding this whole session today. And that is our wonderful CSL Midtown host, Vance Blue.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Bob. That was an awesome talk. And we've got an affirmation for prosperity that I'm going to put up on the screen. How do I get that up here? There we go. All right. Say this with me, with gusto. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And we got several ways you can donate. You can donate at the website, cslmidtown.org/donate. And you can send in a check. And on the website, you can give by PayPal, or you can give with our donation system Realm, which is really easy to do. How I do it. I've got automatic payments set up. That's really easy. Just goes with my regular tithes. And anytime I get extra income, surprising income, unexpected income, I just pop in there and add that to that. So our prosperity, it's been an amazing year for what we do. Like Bob said, as being the treasurer, we are well above where we thought we would be at the beginning of the year, even though we've had all these changes go on. So lots and lots of good stuff going on. Next week, November 22nd, The Grateful and Cheerful Receiver with guest speaker, Reverend Cynthia McCarthy. Looking forward to that. Tuesday afternoons, we've got the Spiritual Empowerment Session from 12 to 12:30. Same Zoom ID you used to get here. You can get there. Share. If you're on Facebook, share this message to spread it out to get to more people. Because the more people that know about this, the better their lives will be too. And we've got a Sunday morning discussion group, which uses the Science of Mind textbook. We're going through that. And in the beginning, there's a guide that goes through. And throughout the entire year, you can go through the entire book in 1 year. And it's a pretty thick book, which is pretty amazing that you can do that in a year. And same ID, come in, put you into a breakout room for that. We have amazing practitioners that if you need prayer work, they're here, willing and able to help you with that. There's a request on the website. They're listed there, and some of them are putting their info in the chat as well to reach out to if you've got anything going on in your life that you want help with, know a better idea for yourself. That's what we teach and what we do, and we can know for ourselves, but sometimes we can't get over something that we see in front of us that we need just a little helping hand with. So that's all there. Now I'm going to turn it back to Bob.
Wow. Okay. So here we go. Let's begin to wrap this up. I would like to just thank everyone here for participating, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be here and to continue to be here and to continue to take this message wherever it can go and wherever people are looking for it. So I welcome you, and I invite you then to join me in our closing affirmation. This is the truth of the day for me, and that is this. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you.